Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. My name is Lee Younger. I'm one of the pastors here, and this is a message I gave on Sunday morning, April 28th, 2024, from the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 4.
Thomas mentioned this a little bit ago, but if you go out into the lobby or if you came in through the lobby, you may have noticed a couple of pieces of artwork that are in the lobby. And I wanted to let you know that I had this idea that because what we're going to do is we're going to spend a lot of weeks this year marching through the entire book of Isaiah, and we're going to be looking for one thing, or rather one person. Every time that Isaiah whispers or hints at Jesus, at the coming Messiah, the one who's going to come and rescue the world and change our hearts and change our relationship with Him, that we're going to look at all of those instances in the book of Isaiah. And I have asked some of our visual artists, and I'm going to keep doing that over the weeks as we go through this, to make some paintings or drawings about what, like, those different instances and how they would kind of visualize that. And we already have two pieces. So we have one from Andrew Morgan. I believe his is from maybe Isaiah 58:11 or something like that. 12. Okay. And then Molly Warren did one from Isaiah chapter 1, which we talked about last week. So, yes, they're very beautiful. They're very cool. And so if you are a visual artist, be prepared that I might come knock on your door and ask this. What I'd like to do is by the end of this series that we would basically have like an exhibit, a gallery out there. So I think that'll be fun. What do y'all think?
That sounds like a cool idea.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool. Okay. All right. So we're talking about Isaiah, and just as a refresher, what is a prophet? A prophet is a person to whom God gave a very important job, and that was, I want you to go to my people and tell them what I care about and tell them how I see it. There's a lot of folks that have a lot of opinions about what matters and how to see the world. And God is like, look, I want somebody to go tell people what I care about and how I see it. And if you're a person who believes in and follows Jesus, there could be nothing more important than what does God think is important and how does He see the world. Okay, so that's what prophets did. Isaiah specifically was a prophet in the southern kingdom of Judah during the reigns of four different kings, at the very tail end of one of them and throughout three other ones. And his job was to tell his people, here's what God cares about and here's how God sees it. And here's the deal. This whole society is a failed experiment, and a foreign power is going to come into your country, burn your cities, tear down your temple, deport all of the people for 7 decades. You're welcome. That's what his job was, and that's what the book of Isaiah is about. And the only thing about that is that force quit and reboot was not going to fix the problems. And so throughout the entire book, there's this little thread that goes through it, a little crimson thread where Isaiah is pointing at someone who's coming. And all along the way, he's going to tell us more and more things about this person who is coming to rescue the world. And so that's what we're going to look at. And so as we get into it today, we're going to look at a couple of different places. And we're going to land in Isaiah chapter 4. If you have a copy of the scriptures, you can follow along if you'd like to. And if you don't, then I'll read it to you. But before we get going, I have a question, and this is not one of the participation questions. So this is a think about it in your head and in your heart question, okay? But I really want you to think about it. Okay, what do you measure to determine why you do or don't matter? What do you personally measure to determine why you do or don't matter? Think about that for just a second. And as you're thinking about that, some people might be like, I don't really know. I mean, I could give like a Sunday school answer. I think about how much I love Jesus. I hope that's true for you. But, you know, we're in church, so maybe that's the first thing that jumped into your head. But I really want you to think about this. And if you're having trouble thinking about, like, I don't know what I measure when I try to figure out if I matter, then let me ask it a different way, which may help you figure it out. When you feel bad about yourself or down on yourself, what is it you're looking at about yourself? When you feel bad about yourself, insecure, or down on yourself, what specifically are you thinking about? Are you thinking about your success or your failure? Are you thinking about your body? Are you thinking about your kids or some of your relationships? What is the thing, and like, how are you measuring your own, do I matter? And if you don't know, then look at what you think about when you feel down on yourself. See, here's a true thing. When a person doesn't know why they matter, they start to guess. When you don't know why you matter, you start guessing. And when you're guessing at why you matter, you typically start measuring the wrong statistics. You start looking at stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with your worth or your value as a person. Now, if that little contagion right there spreads to more than one person, like if it goes to be in like a family scenario, then all of a sudden you have a family that are measuring the wrong things about whether or not they matter. If they may pass it down to the next generation. If that spreads from a family to like a friend group or a community, now we've got a whole community of people who are measuring the wrong thing about whether or not they matter. They're looking at the wrong stats. If that was to spread from a community to an entire society, what if you have an entire society that doesn't know why they matter, so they're guessing? And when they guess at the wrong things. And all of a sudden you are celebrating the wrong stuff, and you are criticizing the wrong stuff. When you look at Isaiah chapters 2 and 3, what you find is there are a lot of judgments being handed out. There are a lot of warnings coming from the Lord. Because he's looking at this society, and through Isaiah he is saying to them, there is a lot about this that's going to get cut down and shut down. And when you look at it, you realize, when you look at those warnings and judgments, you realize that what's happened is, this is a people who don't know why they matter. And it's spread through families and out to a community and then to the entire society. And they have become a people who are prideful, hateful, tribalistic, violent, materialistic, self-obsessed, and oppressive. Real quick, does that sound like a society that you guys have ever had any familiarity with? You guys have any idea what it would be like to live in a society that's prideful? In a society that is self-obsessed or materialistic or violent or oppressive? And that's because when we don't know why we matter, we start guessing. You know what kind of stuff we start guessing at? Is we start guessing and then celebrating the wrong things and criticizing the wrong things. And before you know it, the people that matter the most are the people that are victorious and beautiful. That's what it winds up being. The people that are victorious and beautiful. We celebrate the winners and the wanted. Whoever wins and whoever's wanted. And so then, if you have a failure, then you feel like, I'm the worst. Or if you feel like you're not as beautiful as this other person, you're not as wantable as this person, you're not as lovable or whatever as this person. Because if I'm not the victorious and the beautiful, I am not celebrated. Y'all, are we in a society that celebrates the victorious and the beautiful? I mean, come on. And it spreads out of families, into communities, into the entire society. I'm going to read a couple of things out of Isaiah chapter 2 and 3. Leading up to where we're going to land in chapter 4. Just a couple of verses. This is Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12. The Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. For all the cedars of Lebanon, tall and lofty, and all the oaks of Bashan, for all the towering mountains and all the high hills, for every lofty tower and every fortified wall, for every trading ship and every stately vessel. The arrogance of man will be brought low, and human pride humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, and the idols will totally disappear. This is from chapter 3. This is verse 18. In that day, the Lord will snatch away their finery, the bangles and the headbands and the crescent necklaces, the earrings and the bracelets and veils, the headdresses and the anklets and sashes, the perfume bottles and the charms and the signet rings and nose rings, the fine robes and the capes and the cloaks, the purses, the mirrors, the linen garments, the tiaras and the shawls. I'm like, y'all got tiaras? People are walking around with tiaras. When you don't know why you matter and you start guessing,
and you start replacing what really does matter with substitute worth, and that spreads out to a society, what happens is that every single person you meet is either an opponent or a threat. They're a threat to whether or not you are winning, whether or not you are wantable. And if everybody in your life is an opponent and a threat, then no wonder a society becomes prideful and hateful and tribalistic, materialistic, violent, and oppressive. And that's what had happened to these people. And the Lord said, I'm going to cut it down, and I'm going to cut it out. I was thinking this week about when people love to do the Ancestry.com stuff. And I'm not going to ask any of you if you're on the Ancestry.com thing, because I don't want to out anybody, because I'm going to dunk on it a little bit. But that's okay. If you love it, I think that's really cool. You should definitely love it. But before I do that, I have one more question, which is, did anybody in this room come from like a confusing or difficult family situation? Wait, don't answer that question. Too many of y'all's families are up in here. Some of y'all have parents and grandparents in this room. Some of y'all have children and grandchildren in this room. I'm sure you all came from perfect families. So we'll just bypass that question. And I love our little family. I love my parents. I love my little sister, the family I came from. One thing I've realized as I've gotten older is like the wider that circle got, like into the extended family, like the wider those branches got, the weirder they got. And I don't know if that's anybody else's experience. And some people love the Ancestry.com thing. And my thing is like, I'm good. I don't need to know what other forms of weirdness lurk on the branches of my family tree. Like, I remember when I was in high school, my mom got this letter in the mail from one of her like aunties in Middle Tennessee. And it was like one of those end of the year, this is our family update thing, but it was just like in the middle of June or something. And I'd never even met this auntie of hers or anything. And she's writing to tell my mom what's going on with her cousins. And I'd never met these cousins either. And it turned out there was a good reason for that. Their names were something like Dusty and Ewalt or something like that. It was like very like Middle Tennessee. I may have changed the names to protect the guilty, but it was something like that. It was very Middle Tennessee. And my mom's auntie is going on. And everybody used to call my mom Liddy Gale because her name was Lydia Gale. And she's like, well, Liddy Gale, let me just tell you what's going on with Dusty and Ewalt. You know, and they're like, we're so proud because they successfully applied for jobs and got interviews at the Walmart. And when you live in Middle Tennessee, it's not just Walmart. You have to put the definite article at the front of it. It's the Walmart. So they're going to get jobs at the Walmart, and which I think that's great. I'm not dissing a job at the Walmart. That blue vest, that's good. That's a good job, okay? But she goes on and says, the only thing is, I think only Ewalt's going to get the job because Dusty got locked up again, you know? And it's one of those things of like, I'm good. I don't need to know what else is going on the branches of my family tree. And the thing is that you learn your most core values, and they may change throughout your life as you meet other people and you meet Jesus, but the place that you first learn your most core values is in the home that you grew up in. That's where you get those things at first. And if, you know, when we look at an entire society that doesn't know why we matter, because we don't know what to correctly measure, and we don't know who we are. And, you know, and I don't even want to diss your parents for getting it wrong, because the first place that they learned their core values was in the home they grew up in. And the place that your grandparents learned theirs was in the home that they grew up in, all the way back and back and back, all the way back to a couple who failed a test in a garden with some fruit. And so as a result, we have an entire human race that we don't really know why we matter automatically. And so we measure the wrong things, which makes us celebrate and criticize the wrong things about each other. And that's what makes us materialistic and tribalistic and hateful and prideful, arrogant, shallow, and competitive, and all those things. I don't need to know what else is lurking on the weirder branches of my family tree. I need a new family tree. I need a new branch. There's a phrase that three Old Testament prophets use when they talk about the Messiah. Jeremiah uses it, and Zechariah uses it, and Isaiah uses it. And it is this phrase, the branch. Either the branch of David or the branch of the Lord. And it has this idea of like a genealogical branch. And in chapter 4 of Isaiah, he gives us his next whisper and hint of the Messiah. This is Isaiah chapter 4. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy. All who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem, the Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all Mount Zion and over all those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over everything, the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and the rain. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The branch of the Lord. I don't need to figure out if there's anything way back on my family tree that I have something else to be proud of or put my hope in or anything like that. I need to be grafted into an ancient ancestry that's a totally different one from mine. I need a new branch. I need the branch of the Lord. He says like a few things that the branch of the Lord is going to do for God's people. One, he's going to cleanse all of their filth away. And I don't know about any of y'all, and if you've been saving amen, you can deploy it whenever you want to. But when I don't know why I matter, and I measure all the wrong stuff, and I become jealous, and I become critical, and I become competitive with the people in my life, I hurt myself and them. And I need to be cleansed and washed of that. And the branch of the Lord comes in and cleanses their filth away, washes them. He says the branch of the Lord, and he said in that day he's going to be like a cloud of smoke and fire. And this is like a direct tie back to when the Lord freed his children out of slavery in Egypt. 2.5 million people freed them from slavery and then guided them through the wilderness for 40 years in the form of a gigantic pillar of fiery cloud that went all the way up into the heavens. Like nobody had to wonder where Israel was. There they are. There's a gigantic flashlight and security detail right there. That's them. And he was their guide. Whenever the cloud stopped moving, they would camp out and stay. And whenever the cloud of fire and smoke started moving, they would follow him, and they moved with him. And he protected them. He protected them from the soldiers of the Pharaoh. He protected them for 40 years. The branch of the Lord. I need to be brought into a new family where someone will wash me, where someone will guide me and protect me. And then he says that his glory will be like a canopy over them. There's a few places where that word is used in the Old Testament, and it's always like that part in a Jewish wedding ceremony, which is like the canopy. And this is like, he's like, it's like you're brought all of a sudden into a wedding ceremony, where he wants to be your number one and he wants you to be his number one. And the thing that everybody is trying to figure out why they matter, because we celebrate the victorious and the beautiful. It's the winners and the wanted. And the whole time there's somebody that's saying, I want to bring you into a whole new family, and I want you to be my number one, and I want to be your number one. You've never been as wanted as you are by him. There's someone coming. Someone who will wash you, someone who will guide and protect you, and somebody who wants you in deeper ways than you can possibly imagine. And when everybody, like imagine if everybody in your family just believed that so sweetly and deeply about Jesus. I am washed, I am taken care of, and I am wanted. If everybody in your family believed that, it would totally change the dynamic of your family. If that spread out to a community, and there was a community of people who weren't tribalistic or hateful or you know, materialistic or arrogant or shallow or any of that stuff, because they knew who they are. They know I'm clean and I am protected and I am loved and wanted. What if that spread from a community into a whole town, a town like Oak Ridge, say? And what if there were a people who all day long went in and around and about their jobs and their relationships and everything, and they didn't look at anybody as an opponent or a threat? Because the branch of the Lord is like a canopy over them, and I don't need to fight you, and I don't need to hate you, and I don't need to wonder if I'm wanted or not. It would be so beautiful. There's a prophecy back in Isaiah chapter 2. We're going to look at a couple of verses of it, where Isaiah says there's coming a day when all of the nations of the world are going to go to Mount Zion. It's going to be the highest mountain in the world, he says. And this is what it says. This is so beautiful. This is verse 3. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we will walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes from many peoples. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. When we know who we are, we can turn weapons into tools so that everybody can be tools that feed people. Everybody with full bellies, everybody with full hearts. It's going to be a beautiful day. And the place to start is to go to him and realize I have been brought into a beautiful family. Nobody is my opponent. Nobody is my threat. Nobody's ever been as wanted and loved as I am. I'm clean. I'm taken care of. I'm being led and I am loved. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for who you are and for what you want to do in our life, for the way that you want to eradicate our need to fight anybody, to exclude anybody, to judge anybody, to be jealous of anybody, because you want to take care of us, you want to cleanse us, you want to guide us and protect us, and you want to be a canopy over us. You want to be our number one, and you want us to love you like that too. Help us to love you this week, to trust in how loved we are, and to start to grow into that community that turns weapons into tools. It's in Jesus' name we pray.